Yay's train to Frederick, Maryland. Do you have any interesting stories about spring training in Frederick?
Frederick, Maryland.
Right. Is that where you went, or did you go to Wilmington?
I went to Wilmington, and I went to Frederick also.
Oh, well, I see. So in other words, the A's trained in Wilmington in 43, and then Frederick in
44. That's right.
Oh, I see. Do you have any interesting stories about spring training either year?
Yeah, except it was cold.
It was cold?
That's the only thing I can say. It was cold, uh-huh. And they had a doggone good chef at the hotel in Frederick.
No kidding. I think it was called, is it the Francis Scott Key?
I really don't know. Yeah. It's been a long time ago.
I see. But you don't remember anything other than that?
No, except that that's the year that the second baseman who came with the A's and then was traded to Chicago. He was there, and I was there at the same time.
That wasn't Nellie Fox. Was
Nellie
it?
Fox,
oh, it
that's
was.
Right.
I mean, he,
yeah.
was, he was there as early as
Nellie
the
Fox. Nellie Fox was come in there
yeah.
at about the age of 16 or 17.
No kidding, really?
And I had quite a conversation with him.
Yeah.
And he came on to be a hell of a ball player.
What was the nature of the conversation?
Oh, I don't know now.
I know he was from Chambersburg, which is fairly close to Frederick. In fact, I was in Frederick on Saturday to interview Charlie Keller. What about Wilmington? I was training in Wilmington.
Cold.
Frank Scaff told me that he used to walk from the hotel to the park. The hotel is fairly near the park.
Gee, I don't know, because I didn't stay there.
I see.
I stayed here and went down every day.
Mm-hmm. By car?
No, by train.
Oh, by train. What was it, the Pensy, line?
Pennsylvania line, yeah.
I see. Do you have any interesting stories about travel restrictions during the war, train travel or food and gas rations?
No, not necessarily. We traveled, and that was all there was to it. We had no problems.
In other words, you didn't have trouble getting Pullmans, or?
Oh, no. We had no trouble.
Fine. How about...
We had to sleep uppers a lot of times instead of just lowers all the way. That's what you think.
I know that other clubs had a policy, or some other clubs had a policy where the regulars had the lowers and the utility men the uppers.
That's
how
right.
The A's worked it?
Same thing.
Okay. What about getting to and from ball games in Chi Park? Did you drive a car? Did you have carpools with other players, or did you?
No, I drove myself.
I see. So that was no problem either.
No.
Okay. What were the circumstances under which you got traded to the Red Sox? I know you started 44 of the A's and then went over to Boston.
Well, frankly, I can't tell you anything. All I know is that Earl Mack walked into the clubhouse one day and he said, "Hal, you've been traded to Boston." I threw my glove in the air and shouted, "Hooray." That's all I know.
Who was in the deal? In other words, who went from Boston to the A's? Do you recall?
An outfielder. I can't tell you his name, no.
Okay, now you said that you threw your glove in the air and shouted hooray. Were you anxious to leave Philadelphia, or were you just being facetious?
Oh, I was anxious to leave Philadelphia.
May I ask why?
Yeah, because they brought Frankie Hayes back and was catching him. And I'd been the first string catcher for the last 2 years.
Oh, I see. So in other words, you were riding the bench again.
I was riding the bench.
Uh-huh. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there was a play at home plate that year after you had gone over to Boston where either you broke a bone, a collarbone, or some other player did. Am I right on that?
Someone no, you're not. Luther Knorr knocked me down for a row of beans, but I wasn't no breaking bones or anything else. I just got knocked out.
I thought it was some Yankee ball player that slammed into you. Grimes or Sternweiss or...
No.
No? Okay.
Not while I was at Boston. But Luther Nero down here at Philadelphia Athletics knocked me over.
Uh-huh. That must have been after the war then, because I know he came up in 45.
It was after the North War.
Yeah. Okay. Now you were going really well with Boston. I think you were batting 330 for the year, and then
That's
you went
right.
into service. Now, what were the circumstances under which you went in? And what branch did you go in?
Army.
You went in the Army? Let's see. Were you drafted?
Yeah, I was drafted.
Let's see. Did you have a wife and any children at the time?
Wife and one child.
I see. Where did you go for your boot training?
Well, I went up to Fort Devens for about 3 weeks, and I went to Camp Lanning, Florida.
Mm-hmm. This is Fort Devens outside of Boston?
That's right.
I see. Did you get overseas? Did you do
No, I didn't go overseas. I was hurt in the Army, out on maneuvers, and I was in the hospital for 28 days.
I see. So you spent the rest of the time in Florida?
Yep.
Did you play any ball when you were in the service?
Yep. We had a ball club at Camp Lanning.
I see. Any other major leaguers on that
team? No. No other major leaguers.
I see. Do you have any other interesting stories about the Army
that would
relate in some way to baseball?
No, except we had a ball club down there, that's all. We used to play against Charlie Gehringer.
Oh, really?
Charlie Gehringer was at Jacksonville Naval Air Station.
I see. Anyone else famous that you played against?
No, not there. Not while I was in the Army.
Okay. What kind of a fellow was Connie Mack, in your opinion? How did you find him as a manager?
Well, he was a great man. Good manager, good man. He was a good man all the way around. He was honest and fair.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel he was too old to effectively manage a ball club at that time?
No, I did not.
Let's see. What about Joe Cronin?
One of the best managers I ever played under.
Why? What stood out in your mind about
He was just a smart man, that's all.
Keen knowledge of baseball?
His knowledge of baseball and the man and handling the men.
I see.
He knew how to handle men.
So he was a good psychologist.
That's right.
Did he treat everyone the same, or did he treat each individual player differently? I mean, trying to get the best out of each man, or was he
treated each man the way you were.
I see. Jim Booker felt that he concentrated more on the men who were playing regularly than the substitutes.
Well, I would
but
say he did.
Expected all the subs to be ready. Do you
well, I would
that?
Say he did.
I see.
That's the only way you get. That's the only way you can have a ball club. You got to concentrate on your regulars.
Uh-huh.
Your other men's got to stay ready.
I guess that he just expected the others to stay in shape. I mean, he didn't go out of his way to prod them.
No, that's right.
I see. What kind of a fellow was Tom Yawkey? Did you have any dealings with him?
Tom Yawkey was one of the finest men that God ever put breath into. He still is.
I know that he paid good salaries then and still does. Do you mind if I ask what you were making with the A's and then with the Red Sox? Does it offer an interesting comparison?
Yes, it does. The A's I made, when I left there, I was making $6,000. When I left the Red Sox in 1947, I was making $12,500.
I see. Do you remember what you made when you first joined Boston, or did they just absorb your contract?
They absorbed my contract.
I see.
But they gave me a $2,000 bonus.
Wonderful. And you were their regular catcher.
That's right.
You were right. Do you think that if you and Dora and Houston had stayed that summer, the Sox
would have won the pennant?
Mm-hmm. You think you would have?
I know he would have.
Why? Just, I mean, what was there about that club that made it gel? Was there a good combination of hitting and pitching?
We did have a good ball club, that's all, and there was nothing in the league that could be compared to us.
Uh-huh.
But with Bobby Dorr hitting .300-something,
Bob Johnson had a good year.
Bob Johnson had a good year, and I'm hitting .330, and Tex Houston is
18-5. Yeah.
Yeah, he's 18-5.
Pete Fox, I think, was hitting well.
Pete year. Fox was hitting well. But when you took myself and Dorr and Houston out of there, and three
Fox
other,
the machine.
And part T was under call. Culberson was under call. Somebody else was all under the draft rules, regulations.
So in other words, the threat of the team being broken up was imminent.
Right.
I see. Do any wartime ball players stand out in your mind, either those that you played with or those that you played against?
No, none of them do.
Do you have any interesting stories about Bobo Newsom?
No, I don't have any interesting stories on Bobo Newsom.
Okay. How about Mike Reba, the one-man ball club? What kind of fellow was he?
Mike was one heck of a nice fellow.
Was he a tough guy? I mean, a rough, tough individual, or pretty easygoing?
Oh, no, he was easygoing.
Mm-hmm. You feel that he had some stuff as a pitcher?
Sure, he's a good pitcher.
What about Houston? What did he throw? What was his repertoire?
Text Houston? Fastball, slider, and a curveball.
Which was his best, in your opinion?
Fastball.
Was there something that distinguished him from the majority of other pitchers? I mean, was it just because he had good stuff that he won, or did he have a good mind to go with it? A lot of pitching savvy?
Oh, he had a good mind. He defied any man to hit him.
In other words, he had a world of confidence.
He defied you to hit him. Tex Houston was Tex Houston. And Tex Houston threw that ball, and he didn't care who you were, he defied you to hit him.
I see. I'd like to switch back to the A's for a moment and ask you about Don Black. What do you remember about Don?
Why do you say we forget that, shall we?
Okay. How about, I'm trying to think of other pitchers. How about Jess Flores? I think you caught him.
Jesse Flores was a nice pitcher. What more do you want me to say about him?
I understand he had a good screwball.
He had a very good screwball.
Uh-huh. How about any other members of the A's? Hall, Siebert, Mayo, did you play with?
Yeah, I played with all of them.
Do you have any interesting memories of any of them?
No, I do not.
Okay. Anything else that you'd like to kind
of... None I'd like to reveal.
Pardon?
None that I would like to reveal.
Okay. Fine. How about the rest of the Red Sox? Bob Johnson, Pete Fox? I understand Johnson was pulling down a healthy salary, too, even when he was with the A's.
12-5.
Uh-huh. And how about Fox? He'd been around for quite some time.
Well, I don't know what Fox was making. I have no idea.
I don't mean in terms of salary. I just mean as a ball player.
Who, Pete Fox?
Yeah.
Well, Pete Fox was a heck of a nice guy.
Did he still have a lot of ability left, even though he had been in the league 10 or more years?
He was in 1944 and 45, he was on his last legs. Mm-hmm. Of course, in 46, all the old boys came back.
What about Johnson as a player? I take it that he wasn't too far through. If he could hit over 320, I think he was third or fourth in the league in hitting that year.
Well, as I say, after 45, all the old guys like Ted Williams, Dom DiMaggio came back.
Right, he won a pennant.
So you got rid of the older fouls.
Uh-huh. Is there anything that I haven't mentioned that you'd like to comment on?
Nothing necessarily.
About the years 43 through, 42, 3, and 4?
No, sir. Nothing necessarily.
How about the A's 20-game losing streak in 43? That must have been a tough one to go through.
That was just a heartbreaker, that's all. Everything we did was wrong. We couldn't do anything that was right.
Uh-huh. I think the next year the A's finished in the 5-5. They went up.
No, they didn't.
I think so. They were 8-43 and 8-45, and they tied for Cleveland for 5th-44, right behind the Sox. Who's one other person I wanted to ask you about? Oh yeah, JoJo White. Do you have any memories of him? He played in the A's outfield.
Just a heck of a nice guy.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you very much.